Across the globe, there are 6,861 living languages. That seems like a lot until you consider that 3,116 are endangered. Professor Lyle Campbell of the University of Hawaii at Manoa is co-founder of the Endangered Language Catalog. He and his colleagues are tracking the number of endangered languages and languages moving toward extinction. And Lyle Campbell joins me from Hawaii. So, Professor, could you define an endangered language for us?
Our definition tends to be one that involves several criteria, so that, for example, the main one is that it's this intergenerational transmission, or children learning the language. Another one, though, is are the numbers of speakers diminishing with respect to the ethnic population? And another one is are the domains in which the language is used diminishing? And the best nuanced definition is simply taking these various criteria together and letting that define both what an endangered language is and how endangered it is.
Professor, what are some of the factors leading to that, leading to languages becoming endangered?
When we talk about it, we usually talk about attitude as being the most important one. If people really care and value their language, then they can find ways of preserving it. There's often a misunderstanding about bilingualism. Most of the world is multilingual, and it's very easy to be competent in both the national language and the heritage or local language. But the reasons that people shift from their own native heritage language to a dominant national language has to do often with economics and sometimes with religion. The whole long list of factors, the ones that we don't like at all are the ones that involve suppression and repression and all of those icky things where people have been, their human rights have been violated. People sometimes don't give up their language by choice, but because of either very repressive, ethnic cleansing type policies, or simply policies that disfavor them in government and education and so forth.
And is there an acceleration now of endangered languages? Has there been a greater number? Have there been more languages go extinct over the past, let's say, half a century or so than there had been before?
Yes, exactly. We in linguistics and other social sciences are very distressed about this, and many others are as well. We talk about it as a crisis and a major disturbing crisis. What we find is that there's been a huge acceleration in language extinction over the last several years. And if we do measurements, say, of how many languages became extinct before 50 years ago versus how many have become extinct in the last 50 years, it's astounding. Of all the many millennia in which languages could have become extinct, almost half of them have become extinct just in the last few decades.
Well, is that because of technology? Technology gets credit and blame for a lot of things. Does it factor in here?
It probably does, but probably it's just part of the bigger picture. It has something to do with, all these issues of globalization and ease of transportation and economic shifts around the world and things like that. It is part of that. Technology is only one part of all of the kinds of pressures that societies find themselves in to shift from one language to the dominant, from their native home language to the dominant language of the nation or the people around them.
Does momentum for endangered languages ever shift to not being endangered? Or once it's endangered, is that language sort of headed that way?
Well, no. And that's what we strive for, is to help communities that are concerned with their languages that are at risk to do something about it. So we talk about language revitalization and other kinds of programs. What we mean is trying to turn it around, trying to stop the shift towards language loss. And there are many techniques for doing that. And there are a number of success cases. There are even success stories where languages have become totally extinct and yet have been revived with due diligence by members of the community whose heritage language it is. Hebrew is an example people like to talk about, but there are other languages as well where there are now a good number of speakers where formerly the language simply had no speakers at all.
Well, you mentioned techniques for helping the endangered languages and communities keep those languages alive. Can you talk about a couple of those techniques?
Oh, sure. Probably the best known one and maybe even the most effective one is, it's called Language Nests. It started in New Zealand with Maori, where they recognized that there were people of the grandparents' generation that spoke the language, but the parents' generation didn't. And so they started these daycare centers where elders that spoke the language came together with children and just spoke with them and played with them and helped them learn the language. Another one is called a master apprentice program. That's one where, even when there's only just a handful of speakers, an elder or a master who speaks the language and someone, often a family member, who wants to learn the language, make a contract with each other to spend a certain number of hours talking to each other and learning the language. And very often, the people that come out of that program learn the language reasonably well, and then they become advocates for it, and they actually become teachers sometimes and are able to help motivate the language.
Professor Lyle Campbell is co-founder of the Endangered Language Catalog. He's based in Hawaii and clearly joined us from a very bird-friendly outdoor setting.